Good morning, everyone. John Huckenberry here for iTodea as well.
Hello.
As one more day here. You know, I would like to title this segment, Say It With Faces, Hear It In Voices. The difference between a 5% unemployment rate and a 9% unemployment rate, that's easy. Four. The number four. But within that number are hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of faces and voices of people whose lives have been changed in the midst of all of these shifting economic statistics, whether you're talking about bailout numbers or unemployment numbers or unemployment insurance numbers. We want to begin with faces and voices. And joining us now is Jason Reed, who is a former carpenter in Westerly, Rhode Island. Jason, thanks for joining us.
No problem. How are you?
Mark Dixon is here. He's a placement coordinator for Good Temps right here in New York City. He's in the studio. Mark, thanks for being with us.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
And Tom Crawford joins us from Mineola, New York. He's a former paralegal. And what's your job right now, Tom?
Right now I'm doing some sales in the insurance field.
So you're working off pretty much commission at this point, right, Tom?
Yes.
Right. Jason, let me begin with you. Your employment circumstance has changed, and your living situation has changed. Can you tell me that story, please, Jason?
Yes. I was unemployed for several months and fell behind on my rent. And my landlord sent me a subpoena to go to court. So I went to court, and I didn't have any legal representation. And I pretty much got, pushed around into signing a contract saying that I'd have to be out of my house within 5 days. And so then we went and stayed with, a friend for a couple days. And we talked to this lady at the warm shelter here in Westerly, and she put us up here at the Blue Star Motel for a week or two.
So you're in a motel, but you're being subsidized by some sort of local, income housing subsidy?
Yes.
Now, what was it like to tell your family where you were going from the house that you had to leave to the motel where you're in now?
It was kind of hard, you feel kind of bad about it, and, telling your friends and family that you have to, stay at a motel with your three kids.
How does that help you as you try to find another job, interacting with employers, people who, want to hire you?
I kind of don't really tell them where I'm staying. I just tell them, that I'm in town, and I have a cell phone, so I give them that phone number. That's about it, really.
Tom Crawford, any of this sounding familiar to you?
Very much so. A little bit on a different end, but it's been up and down the last number of years. I had a insurance small storefront brokerage business going that was going fairly well up until about the mid to late 90s. My wife took that over while I went back to school, thinking about getting the my bachelor's degree, which I figured would help, and I did get that. I wanted to go back into the legal field. The trouble with the legal field is that it's been topsy-turvy itself, and it was one job after another, pretty much getting laid off due to restructuring, and then came the calamity of having to go on unemployment for a length of time, so I had no other choice but take whatever I could get. And
so, Tom, you should have gone into bankruptcy law. How much of a downturn in your income have you experienced in the last year?
It's... at one point, we weren't living high on the hog or anything like that, but boy, we went through all our savings within such a short time. It was unbelievable. It was actually scary.
Wow.
It's a consideration now where it's not, the unemployment's bad enough. The emotional and the psychological feelings. Every time you turn on the TV, of hearing jobs gone down the tubes, can't even get a job at Home Depot, for Pete's sake.
Mark Dixon, as the placement coordinator for Good Temps in NYC, right here in New York City, you see these faces every single day. Any
yes.
new ones in the line looking for temp jobs that you haven't seen before?
Yes, definitely. There are lots of new people coming in every day. We get people from all different disciplines, entry-level positions. We get a lot of people coming in, and they're all pretty much feeling the same way, that it's just something we've never seen before, and they're looking for the light at the end of the tunnel.
I want to jump in, Mark and Tom and Jason, and ask, you know, if each of you could just give me a little bit on this, because I want to really hear from each of you. I have some friends who are saying that when they go for jobs after having done X, Y, or Z, they're viewed as overqualified for a position because people are afraid, oh, if you've got X, Y, and Z degree or X, Y, and Z experience, you're not going to stick around. You're not going to give 100%. Mark, how do you sell yourself as someone who's really willing to do a good job if you're doing something that people might have thought in the past was, quote, beneath you?
Well, the thing is, you have to impress upon the potential hiring manager that even though you might seem overqualified, you're willing, able, and ready to work.
Tom, first, have you ever had any, you know, moments where people start questioning your commitment?
No, I'll put it to you this way. I've been told by other agencies to cut down my CV because, like you said, I had too much experience. I also had the situation more than once where I'd interview, and it would be brought up that, well, you know, it's an entry-level position, and, you know, there are younger people. How do you feel working with somebody younger and all? And as Mark was just saying, I try to impress on him the fact that that's no problem whatsoever. I can do the work, and I enjoy doing the work, and the idea is the work, not, you know, necessarily easily the relationships.
Now, Jason Reed, you're in a different situation. I'm wondering if being from the construction trades helps or hurts you trying to pitch yourself in another profession.
I would say it might kind of hurt in a way because, being a carpenter for 15 years and, then you're filling out applications at Burger King and stuff like that, I kind of think that they feel I'm not qualified to work there, and I just tell them that I'm willing to do anything at this point just to, you know, keep a roof over my family's head.
Damn it, you got your family living in a motel, pal, and that doesn't qualify you to work at Burger King?
Right.
Get out.
Yeah, it's tough,
the economy.
I think one of the most important things to do is sell your ability and your desire and your drive. You have to, overlook all of these other superficial ideas, overqualified.
But employers have to get it into their heads that, these people aren't desperate. They're willing to work, right?
Exactly.
Well, you can be desperate and willing to work, exactly, and willing to do a good job. I mean, right?
They go together. So Jason, let's back up a second. At what point does living in a motel stop being an adventure for kids and become a real sober kind of taste of reality for young people?
I would say when I had to, transfer their bus, from they go to school in South Kingstown, and I was driving them back and forth to school every day. And I had to, finally get bus transportation for them because I couldn't afford to drive, back and forth twice a day all the way to another town to bring them, to school and home.
So when that bus pulled up and everybody could see where they were coming from, that was the reality check.
Yeah, definitely.
Boy, I got a picture of that in my mind.
Yeah.
Man, so what's your day like today, Jason?
I have a few places I'm going to go this morning and fill out some more applications. There's a welding job down in Hope Valley that I'm going to go apply for and, just see where that takes me and look through the newspapers and, just hit up every place I can and fill out applications.
Tom, you want to give us your to-do list today?
Yeah, pretty much the same. I will be going to the office, making some calls, trying to make the appointments, and getting together to discuss policies with some people, and pretty much trying to keep the head above board and keeping a chin up more than anything else. Because boy, it's not easy.
Mark Dixon, you want to take us out?
I'd just like to say, Good Temps is committed to finding people jobs. We have some openings. I would encourage anyone out there that's interested in finding a job to come and register with us. We're 219 East 44th Street.
And there are temp agencies all over the country in the same situation as you.
Absolutely.
Right. And this is an option.
And Good Temps is a division of Goodwill, and we pride ourselves on our mission to place people with barriers to employment.
Mark Dixon, placement coordinator for Good Temps, speaking about New York City. Tom Crawford from Mineola, New York. Good luck to you, Tom. And Jason Reed, Westerly, Rhode Island,
certainly
former carpenter.
It.
I hope you get your hammer and nails working sooner rather than later, Jason. Good luck to you.
Thank you.